Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Countout. This is the show that Larson's supposed to be doing the intro for.
Well, let's drink a coffee.
Well, wow, this is the only show.
Hey,
the
you were gone show. Monday.
Yeah.
I did everything on Monday. You can handle countouts today.
Wow, I wonder what Luchando's going to think about that, my friendo.
I meant everything in terms of introing, doing all the notes, yada, yada, yada.
Well, hey, listen, this is the only countdown show that can be found here at goinginraw.com/YouTube.com/StevenLarson and available wherever, I say wherever, fine podcasts can be found, including, of course, CastBox. We have a fantastic partnership with CastBox. Check it out. It's a great place to find your podcasts. We're also, of course, on the Apple iOS podcast. Leave us a rating or a review. It always helps boost the profile of the show. And if you're over on there on the CastBox, leave us a comment. We skyrocketed past the 700 comment mark, Larson.
Right on past that.
We are on the road to 1,000. We are currently sitting at a total combined comments of 755.
All right, let's get to 1,000 by Money in the Bank. That's 12 days.
Leave us a comment, and we might respond all right here. Here we go. Ivan Filipovic, or Filipovich. Pretty rad, guys. CastBox has this godly download feature. Makes it convenient, too sweet, and a hearty handshake, friendos. I'm going to reply to that one, Larson. I'm going to reply with a thanks, friendo. And there we go. That's how you do it right there on CastBox. We're also at patreon.com/StevenLarson. You guys know how Patreon works. You give us money. We give you things in return for money.
Mm-hmm.
Access to live streams.
Yeah.
Bonus content.
Physical.
Friendo care package.
Yes, physical items like comic books and t-shirts.
Not to be confused with the upcoming Friendo Bento.
Is that official?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm coming around to it. I'm seeing your point of view. Compromise.
No, I understand your point
of
view.
It's the cornerstone.
Of a good partnership.
I'm trying to come from your philosophy, how I can embrace it.
Yes.
I think I'm almost there.
We can meld the two together to make everybody happy.
Exactly. That's what life is about, being happy. We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Got something going on in my pocket. I'm not sure what it is.
Ew.
It's not a boner.
Wait, did you forget something?
It's one of those little sticky things when you go out in the woods.
Oh, how'd that get in your pocket?
I went out in the woods.
Oh, okay. You know what I really don't like is when you forget like a receipt in your pocket.
Oh yeah, sure.
And you wash your shorts and you dry it.
Turns into like felt.
Well, on the surface, but also really it gets super dense.
Oh yeah.
Not quite black hole dense, but pretty darn dense.
Pretty dense.
And then you're like, what the heck is this in my pocket? It feels heavy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to comprehend that, you know, a small receipt about that large, you know, it's paper, it's light.
Yeah, sure.
That once it is subject to washing and drying, becomes like a brick.
I'm getting
totally off track here.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
It's a pet peeve of old Larson's, I'll tell you what.
You know, a pet peeve of old Steve's is CM Punk fighting in the UFC when he should be entertaining the masses that love him in professional wrestling. However, tonight... UFC 225
from Chicago, Illinois, will feature CM Punk making his second professional fight against Mike Jackson.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can argue ad nauseum about whether he should be fighting, whether this fight should be on this card, whether this fight should even be in the same state as the rest of the UFC card going down.
Yeah.
But it gives us an opportunity to talk about other wrestlers who have also fought professionally,
and
both the good and the bad.
And in keeping with CM Punk, right now we're going to focus on the bad. The other list that went up today focuses on the best. Now, Larson, what? You came up with this idea, so why don't you let the friendos know our criteria here?
Well, I mean, our criteria across the board for anything is being good, legacy, kayfabe. Now, when it comes to these lists, since there's two dimensions, there's pro wrestling dimension, the MMA dimension. For the best list, which we'll get to another video, but I'll summarize here, you got to be good at both of them.
Okay, sure.
Not necessarily, you know, you don't have to win titles, but you got to be good.
Okay, yeah.
In terms of this list, generally speaking, the individuals mentioned here were good at one, not so good at the other.
Okay, yeah. So there are some who are able to excel in both fields. And then when, you know, on this list here, that's on the other list. Then on this list here,
you're generally just good at one.
If you flop at one, that's good enough to be on our worst list.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Especially if you flop like.
Badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Number 10 here.
10.
In the worst wrestlers turn MMAers or vice versa. I don't know what we're going to title this.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. We number 10.
10.
Tank Abbott.
So Tank Abbott got off to a pretty hot start in UFC. I think I counted his first nine fights. I think he was 6-3.
Yeah, man.
And then the rest of his career was 4-12.
Oh, knockout power, and then people figured that power.
I mean, he
out.
Lost one match due to exhaustion.
Yeah.
So he was one dimensional.
You know, man.
And especially in the early days of UFC, when Hoist Gracie was dominant and he was one of the smaller competitors.
Mm-hmm.
It took more. You couldn't be one dimensional and succeed in the UFC back then, you know, in a larger scale. Maybe fight to fight, but long term, no.
Yeah.
So he finished with a career MMA record of 10-15, a losing record. I don't think he won any titles anywhere, and definitely didn't win any titles in UFC. And then he worked briefly for WCW.
Yeah.
And did a whole lot of nothing.
Oh, well, it was prime worst WCW. You know, the funny thing is, if Tank Abbott, the one thing I'll say about his run in WCW, I remember he managed Three Count.
Yeah, he was the super fan.
Their version of the boy band.
And he would dance.
And he would dance. My thing about Tank Abbott is that the dude actually had the type of personality that should have been absolutely perfect for pro wrestling.
Yeah, he had zero training, though.
Well, he had zero training, but also he was in WCW at a time when WCW was not offering up anything good.
No.
I mean, when I say that, I mean creatively speaking.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, Three Count, the group, the faction, were marvelously talented wrestlers saddled with a boy band gimmick. That's the kind of thing you were looking at. It's like they would take stuff that was really good and make crap out of it. Whereas over in WWF, especially at the time, they were taking things that were good already and making them great.
Yes.
And I feel like Tank Abbott, had WWF seen the potential in him, or had they seen any potential in him? And I have no idea if he ever flirted with the WWF at all. But I feel like WWF might have been able to use him.
Oh, maybe.
You know, maybe with some success.
He might have been a decent complimentary piece to one of the many factions that were happening in WWF at the time.
Yeah, for sure.
There was a point where Vince Russo wanted to make him WCW champion.
Yeah, and if they had taken him seriously, and I know they tried to for a while, but if it was somebody who wasn't Vince Russo that was handling him and handling creative at the time, I could have seen that as a possibility. But, you know, okay, you know, because we're talking about Vince Russo, WCW champion, David Arquette, WCW champion.
No.
I would have much rather, Abbott.
In that lineage, yes, it makes sense.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
But compared to who held the belt prior to that, and also what was going on in WWF, Tank Abbott was nowhere near in that class.
Okay, I'll agree with that. So anyways, Tank Abbott, I think the guy, you know, he could have done some cool stuff.
Maybe.
I feel.
I mean, he
had a great name.
He didn't have a terrible MMA career. His short-lived stint at WCW was underwhelming.
Well, here's the thing.
Kind
about,
of a middling fight sports career, all told.
Well, what you said about MMA in general is true. Like, the turnover is fairly quick.
It's
astonishing
high when
somebody like, you know, GSP or Anderson Silva comes along.
Yeah, before he broke his leg, yeah.
That lasts a long time. Like, the turnover is usually pretty quick.
Yeah, usually get, 2-3 years on top, and then, if that.
Yeah, but especially back in the Wild West days when Tank Abbott, like you said, it's like, you know, you can be one-dimensional for so long, and then you're going to get figured out. And at that point, you're going to be losing if that's all you have, if you don't adapt.
Yeah, if you're just, like, Tank Abbott was literally just a striker with knockout power.
Yeah.
If he can't land the knockout blow, then people just wear him out.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I wonder if he was around when that guy that I heard of had his whole face ripped off.
I think so, but I don't think that ever happened. I did see Tank Abbott knock someone out and give him a seizure. I did watch that. So he was laying in the ground with his arms all stiff.
That's terrifying. That's so bad. Number nine.
Nine.
Number nine. There you go. Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, that's from the actual fight.
Yeah, look at that. He's staring down Crow Cup right there. He used to wear that mask. Yeah. Kind of goofy.
Yeah.
So what you said, his record isn't actually that
bad.
Yeah,
it's 9-5.
Right?
And five. He actually went on a six-fight win streak at one point.
Oh, why is he on this list then?
Because he got knocked out by Crow Cup in 46 seconds
and,
with a vicious head kick.
Yeah, and he's Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's had, if you look at his resume, pro wrestling resume on paper, it's pretty accomplished.
Really good.
Problem is, he never really put any butts in seats.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he really sold a whole lot of merch. I don't know if he really moved money for any company he worked for.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, on paper, he had a really good pro wrestling career, but in practicality?
I'm not sure. He's kind of like a variation on Lex Luger. There's sort of that Lex Luger class of wrestler who really doesn't move the needle. You're not sure why he's always there.
But if you look at what he brings
on paper,
they pretty much check every box.
Right, exactly.
It's that intangible thing.
Yeah, and yet we saw live and in person a fantastic match between him and Moose.
And he had that intangible thing that night.
I know!
He was passionate. He was enjoying himself. He was having fun. I can't think of any moment I've ever seen Del Rio in WWE look like he was ever having fun.
I know. I wonder if it's the kind of thing, because, you know, in WWE, they're paying him a lot of money. I wonder if it's when you're getting paid a lot of money and you have nothing to prove, if he might be one of those guys who just, like, phones it in.
Whereas when he's wrestling in front of a few hundred people.
500 people, yeah.
Yeah. He feels like he needs to connect with every single person in that audience.
Because he did.
Could be.
He totally did.
He totally did. He gave a really impassioned promo after his match against Moose.
Yeah.
That made you believe that he was Impact for life.
I want to see more of that Alberto Del Rio. But I don't really want to see Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
So it's a conundrum, dude.
Anyways, he's pretty much just on this list because he got destroyed by Crow Cop.
I like this theme song, though. Number eight.
Eight.
Katsuyori Shibata.
Yeah. So my understanding is that he was a young lion in New Japan, trained. He was one of the, I think he was in the same class as Nakamura and Tanahashi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were dubbed the new Three Musketeers.
Mm-hmm.
But then he left New Japan to try his hand at MMA.
Yeah.
Didn't go that well for him.
No. What was his record?
4-11-1.
Wow.
And he had two stretches, roughly about 18 months, where he didn't win a fight.
Yowza.
So that didn't go very well for him.
No.
And so he returned to wrestling, came back to New Japan, and especially his final run between Wrestle Kingdom 11 and when he unfortunately hurt himself.
Yeah.
Headbutting Okada. He was spectacular.
Oh, man. He was one of our favorites because we had just started watching, and he was fantastic. He was like the dude that we look at and be like, oh, man, that guy's king. He's boss, you know?
Looks like his strikes look legit.
Well, they were. That's why he's retired.
Well, no, the headbutt, yeah, but like the forearms, they'd hit on the collarbone, so you weren't really hurting anybody.
Well, yeah, but, man, they still look super stiff.
Oh, they were super stiff.
Yeah.
But it was fun to watch up until he actually
hurt
himself.
So much fun. Yeah. He was a blast. MMA, apparently not, though. Holy wow.
Wasn't for him.
Yeah, I guess not. But you know what? Pro wrestling was great, and now he's doing great work training people. I'm trying to be positive. Great work training them young boys, young lions.
At the LA dojo.
At the LA dojo, exactly. I know. Here's the thing, man. I know that the term young boy is like a normal thing. That's what they're called also, in addition to young lions. Sounds weird to me still to say that.
Young lions.
It's still funny, though. Still makes me laugh. Like when Cody Rhodes was clowning Jay, wasn't it Switchblade?
Oh, Jay White, yeah.
Jay White called him young boy. It was funny. Anyways, let's move on. Number seven.
Seven.
Still for Dr. Death.
Where's my picture of Steve Williams? Did you forget to do a still for Dr. Death?
I think so.
Uh-oh.
Evidently, I did.
Uh-oh. Well, we'll just continue talking.
Yeah, okay.
Imagine Steve Williams. Anyways, he only had one MMA fight. That was in 2004. He was 44 years old, and he lost it in 22 seconds.
Oh, geez.
Apparently, he went, a whole year without getting pinned in North America. So, it came to pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He was exceptionally accomplished, winning belts all over the world in Japan.
Oh, for sure.
Here in North America.
Yeah.
And I always found this story interesting about him coming to the WWF in 1998 prior to Brawl for All.
Yeah.
Because Vince brought him in to win the thing.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of, you know, Brawl for All was kind of that shoot fight type thing.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, Dr. Death had a reputation for being a real tough SOB.
Tough dude. Here's a picture of him. Oh, I'm great. Look at that. There he is.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Death.
Hey, Dr. Death. How you doing?
Hi, Steve Williams. Dr. Death was the talent that everybody in WWF was behind backstage to win Brawl for All.
Yes.
And according to this on Wikipedia, Vince won him as a possible contender for the WWE title, which Stone Cold had at the time.
So I remember when he was brought in.
Yeah.
And they gave him the treatment like he was a scary dude.
Yeah.
Like he was a real scary guy. I mean,
he looked legit.
He looked super legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, he lost in the semifinals to Bart Gunn. Mm-hmm. I guess Dr. Death, Steve Williams, suffered a torn hamstring, and then Bart Gunn knocked him out.
Well, yeah, I don't know, man. If he had won Brawl for All, which obviously was never going to happen, if he had won that, maybe he'd be in the lineage.
That could have catapulted him up to the main event status.
If Vince is validated to that degree,
would have happened. He was at least going to get a title shot.
That
for
totally
sure.
would have happened.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Bart Gunn, after getting knocked out by Butterbean,
mm-hmm.
Went on to his own MMA career in Japan.
Yeah.
I think it lasted a matter of two or three fights.
But he also had a spectacular pro wrestling career in Japan
yeah.
after that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, people liked him, dude. Number six.
Six.
Daniel Pooter.
So,
is it Pooter or Pooter?
I don't know.
Yeah,
so most of these are an instance of someone who is very accomplished in the pro wrestling world, trying their hand at MMA and not doing too well.
Correct.
This is the opposite. Daniel Pooter actually has an 8-0 record.
Oh, yeah.
In the MMA.
Magnifico.
Yeah.
Magnifico.
Quit undefeated.
Yeah.
However, his pro wrestling career.
Seems also like a very happy guy. Look at him here.
Yeah, he looks very content.
That. Looks like he loves life, man.
Yeah.
You can't be angry at a dude like that.
The highlight of his wrestling career was winning WWE's Tough Enough in 2004.
Yeah.
And in the process of winning that show, he almost legit broke Kurt Angle's arm.
In a really fun, yeah. So, like, Kurt Angle has his own variation on this story where he was just coming back from, I think, neck surgery or something. And who knows what the truth is. But he wasn't expecting. They were going to do like a shoot wrestling thing.
I bet it was supposed to be like a work shoot type thing.
Yeah,
within the context of the Tough Enough competition.
Kurt Angle obviously was supposed to, you know, school them, you know?
Yeah.
But Daniel Pooter, Daniel, Dan, he decided, no.
I'm going to business for myself.
I'm gonna shoot, break your leg, and say F you. And so he almost had Kurt Angle tapping out. And I think it was like, I don't know, the ref like pulled him off because the ref called it a three. I watched this video like not that long ago. Because at one point he had like his shoulders down and the ref like pulled him off because he said, you know, this is supposed to be a submission thing, not like a, you know, not a pinning thing. I forget what it was. But then you see Kurt Angle get like super mad and be like, you're a stupid idiot. It makes for a fascinating, there is a couple shoot interviews out there. From both sides, I believe. Kurt Angle talks about it. I'm pretty sure Daniel Pooter talks about it, too. But it is really fascinating. And then on top of that, his mic skills were just really, really bad.
Yeah, they were not very good.
I will say this, though. I can't think of somebody who would be better suited for the current day performance center than a guy like him.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, because he had, like, having that kind of wrestling record and then coming in, and it's like, I'm not sure what, like, if they could have squeezed some charisma out of him, because if I recall correctly, there wasn't a whole lot of that.
No, there wasn't a whole lot going on. But you know, he had a match that we saw in one of our going in Raw views against The Miz that was really awkward.
Yeah. Then they did like a boxing fight.
Yeah,
boxing
that's what it was.
Match. That was
boxing
terrible.
Match. And then Daniel Pooter went to OVW.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a matter of a few months later in September 2005, he was released by the company.
Yeah, and man, I read a story about that too. I'm kind of sad that I didn't look it up before this. But there's a story about, you know, he has a story about how he ended up washing out of OVW, and then there's another side to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of like little sort of mini controversy surrounding his time in the WWE. Like I said, I think that he's the kind of guy who probably could have benefited from, you know, the current very professional, well done performance.
Yeah,
one
of the things they really concentrate on is improving character and mic mm-hmm. skills. Interesting little side note for Daniel here. He went to New Japan, fought Nakamura at a Dominion, and then later on was his tag team partner.
Oh, wow. Look at that. So, wow. Good for him. And again, look at this picture. Seems very happy right now. So, good for him. Hope he's doing well in his life.
Yes.
Number five.
Five.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Another accomplished professional wrestler who didn't have a whole lot of success in his lone MMA bout.
Oh, no.
Tapped out in 2 minutes and 15 seconds. He lasted 1 second longer than CM Punk
in
his lone professional fight.
All right, well.
It happened in Japan, I think, in the late 90s.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So, you know, it seemed like it was just something he dabbled in or something.
Mm-hmm.
Around the time he was doing work with ECW.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, extremely accomplished professional wrestler, the ECW champ.
Oh, man.
Won championships all over the place.
Yeah, he was great.
But yeah, just one fight didn't work out too well for him.
Hey, you know what, man? Sometimes it's just not your thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When you were a kid, did you ever try something that just wasn't your thing?
Yeah.
What?
Soccer.
Wow.
Because when I first played soccer, organized soccer, I was very small.
Mm-hmm.
I was the smallest kid on the team.
Yeah.
And so I never got to kick the ball.
Yeah.
Because even if I was faster than the older kids, they were larger, so they would just kind of elbow me out of the way eventually.
Yeah. I was terrible at soccer, didn't understand the positions. So I would just run to the ball. Well, I'm supposed to be like, you know, halfback or...
Yeah, you're supposed to stay around midfield, yeah.
You're supposed to stay in your position, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was terrible at that, but I enjoyed doing it. I was bored to death by baseball.
Oh, I love baseball.
That bored me to death. I loved basketball. I played that every single year. I loved that.
I wish I still played baseball.
Yeah. You should get out there, man. Get out in the world.
It's been too long since I played baseball. It's been a good 5-6 years.
Come on, there's got to be a seniors league out there.
A seniors league. It's not a matter of me finding a league. There's leagues I can play in. I just... When I was playing in Los Angeles and here, it's because I knew people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to some team practicing like, hey, guys, you need another player?
Throw me the rock. That's what you got to say.
It's not called
the rock. I'm about to hop in some recreation leagues around here.
No, good idea.
As a free agent. Throw me the rock. My team.
Just
now.
Post up and just say,
my
ball
team.
Here.
And then just start screaming at people.
Ball here. No, dude, yeah. Robin Stevens, just chuck up threes the entire game. You'll endear yourself to your teammates in no time.
Number four.
Four.
Jushin Thunder Liger. Ooh, look at him right there. Look at he's even got the Liger kind of mask on right there for his MMA fight.
So Jushin Liger is a legendary junior heavyweight in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's wrestled around the world. He's 11-time junior heavyweight champion. But his lone MMA fight, it's a funny story or an interesting story. So apparently he was replacement for somebody else last minute in a Pancrase fight. His opponent was Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, dear.
And what turned out to be Minoru Suzuki's last MMA fight.
Wow.
Even though Suzuki was at the end of his MMA career, Liger had no chance, tapping out to a rear naked choke in 1:48.
Yowza.
And as you can see from the still there, he wore his mask to the ring.
Yeah, man, he looked great. I wonder if like in the pre-match he did the thing where he's like,
oh, maybe.
That'd be cool.
It'd been 2002, 2003, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe he needs to take it a bit more seriously.
Maybe he was friendly with Minoru. Minoru needed needed a favor. And Jushin Liger said, all right, I'll sub in. I'll try this out. Why not? That's speculation.
Hey,
completely.
I need a favor. Can I completely destroy you? Sure.
Well, maybe Suzuki just kind of took a little easy on him.
Maybe,
Suzuki could have made him tap out in like 20 seconds.
Oh, maybe. Perhaps. But he was too busy watching him do
maybe
like that.
Minoru Suzuki was looking ringside at the young lions he wanted to kick in the face.
We need to rematch this. Jushin Liger versus Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, and you want a Minoru Suzuki open challenge.
Yeah. Jushin Liger, he's the man.
You're on.
He's the guy.
You think a palm strike to Suzuki's face is going to do the trick?
Yeah, man.
Don't think so.
Moving on, number three.
Three.
Yuji Nagata.
Another highly accomplished Japanese superstar. Won the IWGP heavyweight title a couple times. His MMA record is 0-2, and I'll give Yuji credit for this. He didn't take on any slouches.
No chumps here, man.
First against Mirko Krokop.
Oh, dear.
Who we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Basically kicking the head off Alberto Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
Yuji lost to him in 21 seconds.
Oh, man.
Second match against Fedor.
Oh.
Lasted 1:02.
Yeah.
So credit to Yuji for taking on some really good competition.
21 seconds. That's barely enough time for the bell to ring and then you to approach a guy.
That's got
to
be head kick KO.
I would think so, yeah. And then Fader, 1 minute, dance around a little bit, clown around, swing, miss.
Full mount, fast hands, ref stoppage, I'm guessing. I don't know.
I'm guessing. We'll have to see if they have those matches online anywhere.
Oh, I'm sure that you can find them somewhere.
Yeah.
But again, highly decorated wrestler. I remember when I was starting to watch WCW, it was around the time when Yuji made his debut there.
Yeah.
He was pretty neat back then.
Yeah.
He's had a great career. It's cool to see him still wrestling these days and still putting on really good matches.
Dude, in the G1 last year, he's putting on some classics. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, he's
he can still go.
What, 51 years old?
Something like that. He's got one of the best shirts in all of wrestling.
Is that this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Anyways, moving on. Number two.
There's no... we don't know who that is. We just see a picture.
Look, here he is. CM Punk. There he is. I freaking love this, doing this live to tape. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyways, look at Phil there. Phil, he's got to be so happy right now, man. He's riding high. This past Tuesday, the verdict came in his favor. Him and Colt Cabana don't have to pay nothing. They can sleep easy now.
Yeah.
Chris Amon got checked by that jury. They said, no way, Jose. Yeah. You crazy thinking that you're going to get him for defamation. This is straight edge superstar.
You don't know where you're going with any of this. We made this list. You thought CM Punk should be number one, right?
Because your actual number one is kind of bogus.
I don't know how, man.
He didn't do anything. CM Punk fight?
Yeah, but CM Punk is at least a highly decorated professional wrestler. The person number one is decorated in no respect.
Dude, they had to. Well, yeah, I know, but I'm talking about the level with which he is bad at UFC.
You watch one match of the number one guy. Here, I'll see if he lost any matches quicker than CM Punk lost his one match. How about that? Will that satisfy you?
Yeah, man. Look, all man, right. I just saw one match, and Giant Silva, you know. Oh, sorry.
Spoiler alert.
So anyways, talking about CM Punk.
He lost two matches. Oh, sorry. He lost one match quicker than CM Punk.
Well, there you go. Anyways, let's get back to Phil.
Yeah.
God bless his soul.
He had one fight. He went, when the bell rang, charged towards Mickey Gall, which is probably ill-advised.
Yeah. Because
Mickey Gall just took him down.
Swung a really nasty punch.
Yeah, that missed everything.
Yeah.
Mickey Gall had control of the fight from that moment on, and CM Punk tapped out 2 minutes and 14 seconds into the first round.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could talk on and on and on about how great CM Punk was in the wrestling
all
ring.
All day long. All day long.
One of Steve's favorite wrestlers of all time.
Absolutely.
Where does 100%. He rank on the top five list of all time?
Two, three, maybe three.
Behind Stone Cold and who else?
Stone Cold and, I don't know, it's probably CM
Punk. Triple H?
Probably CM Punk.
All right.
Maybe Triple H. Triple H number three. I'm going to do that to Triple H. Triple H number three, just because I know I don't think he likes CM Punk. Right?
Yeah, it didn't seem like it.
CM Punk's number two. so, yeah, no, but, you know, go back to his UFC thing. I think my main thing about the UFC thing was, look, I would never, ever, ever fault a guy for following his dreams and taking advantage of opportunities based on the name that he has built himself somewhere else. Totally fine with that. It was kind of, I don't know. It's like, do you really want to do that to yourself? I like basketball, right?
Yeah.
I play in my backyard.
Yeah.
If I made a massive name of myself and I was like, you know, awesome in any other respect, the Sacramento Kings said, hey, you want to come join, be our point guard? As much as I would love to say yes, I'd probably say no.
Yeah.
I would say no because, you know what, I'm not a real basketball player.
It'd be an embarrassment for you because you would go out there and get annihilated by professional basketball players. It'd be an embarrassment for the team.
Yeah.
Because then people would say, why are they signing this guy who obviously is like at best rec league level of talent?
Right.
And you'd be an embarrassment to the city of Sacramento.
Well, that last part has had many embarrassments. So, but no, I see your point. It would be embarrassing for everything involved. Luckily, I've got my massive name to come back to.
See, but I think I think saying you gain a measure of fame. Like, say you manage to become a relatively famous comic book writer and artist.
Nice.
Let's say that's what happens.
Famous comic book artist.
I don't know. That's something you do or have done. So that's why it came to mind. And so the Kings take notice, see some tape from your rec league days.
Yeah, man.
See you running the elbow, dominating from the
big
elbow.
Time, yeah.
Say, we need this kind of player on our team. Let's sign him. I don't think that's a fair comparison what CM Punk was doing. So I think if you want to make the analogy with yourself, you would have to play another sport that's kind of like that sport.
Oh, dude, don't go down that
path. But not the same sport.
Oh, my God. Do not go down that path. You know you're full of shit right now. It's pro wrestling. There is no comparison to real fighting.
Oh, I know there's not.
Then what are you talking about?
But there's athleticism involved.
Okay, all right.
Whereas writing and drawing comic books, there's Is there athleticism involved in that
at
all?
No, no.
Whereas there's a lot of athleticism involved in playing professional basketball.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. He went from one athletic endeavor
I thought you were
to another.
Down.
I'm not comparing fight sport to fight sport.
Okay,
I'm comparing
all right.
athletic endeavor to athletic endeavor.
All right.
So now if you were a marathon runner, you know, and you've run multiple marathons, even that's a bad example.
I don't.
If you were successful
okay, so
in some sort
thing,
of other athletic
thing,
endeavor
here's the thing.
And went and tried to.
The marathon runner analogy is more apropos because, in my estimation, being a marathon runner and being a pro wrestler, I kind of actually think that the level of stamina.
Yeah.
Is probably the only parallel between this world here and that world there. Cause it's not like you're throwing real punches here.
Mm-mm.
In fact, you have to unlearn a ton of stuff
mm-hmm.
in order to start down this path. But, no, I don't know. I thought it was bunk for the UFC. I my thing is this, it was always simply this. I very, very casually follow UFC. If there's a big fight, I will watch it.
Yeah.
But that is it. If I'm a big time UFC fan, you're kind of wasting my time. If
yeah.
I've put money into the company via merchandise ticket sales, you're wasting my time because he's not a real fighter.
Because you're not giving the viewers, the ardent viewers, the hardcore viewers,
I want the
a competitive
cream,
fight. Yes, I understand
the creme de la creme.
Well, I wonder even for the hardcore UFC fans, if there is just, you know, a little bit of curiosity to see how this guy is going to fare in his first fight. I'm sure that was part of it. Second fight, I don't see how that's the case. Second fight is strictly a means to get casual observers of the sport to buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
That's but what hey, it is.
I'm not going to fault the guy.
Yeah,
good
man.
For him. They
good
throw
for
him.
Him.
If DC Comics came calling and said, hey, your first couple books are crap. You want to write Batman? I'd say, sure, why not? Anyways, moving on. Number one.
One.
Giant Silva.
So you may remember Giant Silva from this tenure in WWF as a member of the Oddities.
Yes, correct.
And after that, he dabbled in the MMA a little bit.
Yeah.
Over in, I think, exclusively in Japan or predominantly in Japan, amassing a record of 2-6.
So wait a second. Okay, so I stand by my opinion, though, that 2-1 should have been. I think CM Punk. Now, well, no.
See, my thing is CM Punk has a fight today.
Yeah.
If he wins that.
Should we have, like, waited till next week to do this
no,
list?
No, it's more topical now. And if he were to win that,
yeah.
then he might not be, well, he'd be, like a 10 instead of 2.
Oh.
So I was giving Punk the benefit of the doubt,
all
not
right.
putting number
the,
one.
The jury, to use a pun that is apropos right now,
yeah.
or was
yeah.
5 days
I
ago,
suppose, yes.
is out.
To a degree.
To a degree. If Punk
because like all these other
wins
pretty
tonight.
Much all these other wrestlers who just had the single MMA fight, it seemed like just something they were just dabbling in.
He's
something
not,
trying
is,
out.
Dude, come on. We're coming back around to...
Without if, a whole lot of training or anything
We're coming
like
back
that.
Around to, if he wins, he's not. And he's fighting literally the bottom of the barrel.
Okay.
He's not going to win. That's not
What if he
happen.
Has like a really good showing but loses?
It's the bottom of the barrel.
All right.
It's the bottom of the barrel, man. If he wins in devastating fashion, he might jump. He might jump to like number 5 on this list.
All right.
Silva won 2 matches, 2 fights.
Two
Good
fights,
for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, your central point of
oh
whoa.
Dear, I hope I didn't spill coffee on your thing.
He's like what 7 feet 900 inches
yeah,
tall.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, that's just a bad idea. What was there? What were his wins? He got a submission win
with
in,
a Kimura, 2 submission wins
in Pride. And then
and
whatever
K1
premium
2006.
Well, good for him, but he also had a lot of losses.
Well, yeah, he had 6 of them.
And the one that I saw was fairly ugly.
Yeah.
It was a lot of lurching about, and then he got down on his back, and then he got tapped out. That's pretty much how it went.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, there you go. Worst wrestlers turned MMAers or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah, worst. Yeah, whatever we're
going
to call this.
We got a few days to figure out the title.
Yeah, we got some days. Anyways, be sure to check out our other list where we take a look at the creme de la creme
yeah.
of wrestler/MMA careers. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.